Greetings, intrepid travellers of the galaxy. Tonight we find ourselves amidst the bustling corridors of Hutton Orbital, where each week brings new tales and adventures from the edges of known space. Tonight, the station hums with activity as engineers feverishly work on upgrades to the medium pad. Tiny drones dart around like miniature shooting stars, their paintbrushes poised to refresh the station's exterior. Meanwhile, technicians debate whether the new colours will blend seamlessly with the cosmic backdrop or stand out like a beacon in the void. Just to be on the safe side, one member of the team is scouring Galbe for a high-vis vest that would fit an outpost, but with no luck so far. In one of the parade's many bars, the ever-changing flow of commanders brings a whirlwind of activity. Amidst the lively chatter and bustling activity, seasoned pilots swap stories of near misses and daring rescues, their tales echoing along the corridors like whispers of distant nebulae. Elsewhere on the parade, anticipation builds as a makeshift fair comes to life. Vendors offer celestial-themed delights, ice cream swirling with flavours reminiscent of distant planets, not ammonia worlds, obviously, and beverages fizzing with the effervescence of starlight. Meanwhile, holographic projections dance across the walls, showcasing the wonders of the galaxy in vivid detail. As the day draws to a close and merrymakers wend their way to the fair, the air crackles with excitement and the promise of adventure. Commanders from all corners of the galaxy converge, their eyes fixed on the food stalls where mysteries abound and digestive dangers await amidst the stars. They eagerly devour Beetlejuice burgers, McStiffies, pies of questionable origin, and black hole donuts. The vendors of carbonated drinks also enjoy brisk business. Just as the first commanders get the Wamblecroft, feeling their bowels turn to water and their collective colons pulse with anticipation, the fairground music stops and a familiar voice cuts through the buzz.
Our mates are live.
Welcome to this week's show, where I'm reliably informed a number of station regulars are running about shouting about something coming home.
Well, judging by the news reports, it's either socialism, a dose of the latest strain of mods, or a lot of South Britonites with a hangover and a massive sense of disappointment.
Or maybe our missing radio crew.
Oh, that's okay. With him gone, I can get aboard in edgeways this week. Though I do want to hear about those feral donkeys from Amelia when she gets back.
In the meantime, here are the totally not made up and utterly approximately true headlines.
Absolutely.
Cow does a Beldaquiri flip-flop.
Hudson adds a other est to his list. Ages.
More gin and mugs reach far-flung locations.
Strange Island connected with presenters' disappearances.
But an expansion to a nice ice place and other BGS news.
Hutton narrowly avoided a galactic political incident this week after a number of rather disgruntled members of the brother and sisterhood of Terra Mater made the trip out to Hutton to lodge an official protest regarding an invasion by Hutton of their space. Their allegations caused quite a stir, as while Hutton's political bureau is known galaxy-wide for expanding to places by accident, mostly due to having the map the wrong way up, adding one instead of subtracting it, and indeed the map being of the London Underground instead of the nearby systems, the system in question did not appear to contain any Hutton influence, direct or otherwise. Upon investigation, it appeared that a number of Hutton pilots, led by former DJ Quizmaster and bovinophile Psycho Cow, had taken the side of the Brothers of Beldraki over in Beldraki and were attempting to squeeze into Onez, pronounced Onesie. The Terramateries, purveyors of Ucheng Chili Enhanced Bubble Bath, were concerned that their system had fallen to the combined might of the Hutton's BGS team, based on an encounter with a rather feisty space cow, a shadowy ninja dojo major domo with a pan, and some guy called Mr. Strange. It turns out that the Beldakri brothers, notorious local smugglers of rare and endangered avian life, had convinced Mr. Cow that, as he'd paid for the big sign on the entrance to Onesie, by some ancient Scottish lore, he was actually the local laird and had claim to it, including the plate of scones ensconced within. We sent out our best interviewer to the system to get the lowdown on who these two shysters are and what their plans for the system are. Over to you, Flossie.
The Beldakri brothers, Dirk and Darnell Beldakri, are well known throughout the system for their flamboyant and oft-times reckless behaviour. While they share a name with the system, that's only because they dropped the "ov" from the middle of their names in an elaborate scam while attempting to claim Onesie a number of years ago. Dirk, the elder of the two, is a towering figure with a penchant for dramatic entrances and similarly dramatic exits, often in the form of a flounce, and more often than not sporting a cape and an oversized hand cannon. His love of the theatrical is matched only by his shattering incompetence in actual combat, resulting in accidental victories more often than strategic triumph. By way of contrast, Darnell is the brains of the operation, or at least he thinks so. With a love for all things explosive and a talent for smuggling all manner of things throughout the system, hidden in the most unlikely places, he is the chief architect of the brothers' numerous heists. Their activities appear to be wide-ranging, from simple con artistry, convincing space Scotsmen to attempt to claim ownership of the system, to unpredictable pirate raids on ships leaving the system with low-value cargo, Darnell's reasoning being that unwanted stuff is less well guarded, to their latest smuggling venture related to rare cheeses banned in most systems for their potent aroma and explosive fermentation process. Oh, and the protection racket that demands fees from miners to protect them from asteroids.
Thank you, Flossie. These brothers appear to have taken over the system in the last week, but Commander Psycho Cow, having been informed about the explosive cheese and the fact that the pre-existing owners were neither Terrors nor Flat Earthians, issued a proclamation that he, the Queen of the Ninja Dojo and Mr. Strange were now working to remove the brothers from their new offices. Which means that their anarchic reign lasted somewhere as long as a Conservative Prime Minister and marginally less long than a lettuce.
The Federation has been rocked by yet another presidential scandal after, theoretically out of a job, former President Hudson, who still appears to be in the office despite losing the election in October last year, has claimed that he's only occupying the rhomboid office as President-elect Winters is clearly too old to hold the post and is, in his words, a doddering old biddy who has no place running a major galactic power. This is despite President Winters being a good 10 years younger than Hudson, who is himself approaching 109 years old. His actual age varies depending on who you ask and which fake birth certificate you're reading. The rumours that the cleft in his chin is as a result of decades of facelifts and his taut skin and the effects of years of performance enhancers and anti-aging drugs are simply unsubstantiated, and scurrilous rumours that we, of course, are happy to propagate. Well, until his lawyers get in touch. Winters, despite her numerical age being relatively high, benefits from the long life and energy of the very wealthy and claims to still be able to manage a few rounds of zero-G tennis every morning and can often be seen at the rebuilding projects on her home world digging foundations for refugee shelters by hand. Contrast that with Hudson, who, according to one of his mistresses, has to be helped into his office each morning as a result of repeatedly walking into the commode and attempting to address the Tibble rail as, "My fellow Earthicans," before declaring the noise of the toilet flushing is fake news and is clearly neither doddering, senile, nor unhinged in any way at all. Nor that the beautifully coiffured hair is actually a small creature he bought from Galnet Rare's Digest. All that said, while Hutton is unaligned when it comes to political superpowers, we'd far rather Winters was in power, and according to Alvin, during a number of summits, she has given him the best belly rubs, and she smells nice, whereas Hudson is a cat person, which says it all really, especially as he doesn't like snowy Bengal kittens either, the only acceptable cat in the galaxy.
Welcome to week 100 of Too Hot, Too Messy, the continuing story of Hutton's mission to deliver mugs and gin to every space station and surface settlement in the entire Milky Way. In the last week, Commander's delivered 600 mugs and an unprecedented 867 gin to colonies everywhere. In the first 100 weeks, Commander's delivered a total of 136,964 mugs and 133,736 gin, with an estimated 302,613 ports available. That means we're very nearly at halfway. Stereo MD has sort of made it into 1,000 Club, with 1,024 mugs delivered, but only, I say only, 897 gin. So they get access to the executive lounge and special vending machine, but they're not allowed to have the key to the golden lobby yet. Leading squadrons are unchanged, with all of the usual suspects in the top five. They are Hutton Truckers, the Buckyball Racing Club, the Anti-Xeno Initiative, Winged Hussars, and Elite Dangerous ANZ. Well done to everyone who has taken part. The trade routes are clear on the approach to Hutton, and the Eden Ring Road is showing no congestion. Small pad availability is rated as Willkommen, and the medium pad is rated as Bienvenue. There was only one Hutton run last week, and that was from NEMB, who made an unassisted run in 1 hour 37 minutes and 48 seconds. If you're coming out to Hutton, could you get me a couple of things at the shops? I need a packet of Jaffa Cakes, the big long one you get at Christmas, shaken back, and a sink plunger. I'll square you up when you get here.
It may have come to the attention of our usual listener that we're a little short on presenters this week. While Vantayun and his alter ego Rudolf Hooker are holidaying on a beach resort somewhere on the planet of New Africa in the Epsilon Indy system, Amelia is currently in location unknown. After he tipped her off about the mysterious uninhabited island just off the coast of the resort, Amelia and her assistant Steve commandeered an ancient Moray starboat. The last we heard from Amelia was that the locals had reported seeing either a clone or a doppelganger of her wife Sandrine, that the mysterious floating island contained a colony of feral donkeys, that some mysterious brain coral had washed up ashore, and that the water tasted a bit funny. We're attempting to re-establish communications with the starboat, but as it appears to run comms units from a few hundred years ago, and was probably put back together by someone who had about as much starship or submarine engineering knowledge as we all have broadcast skills, there are concerns that she might be marooned somewhere. Any pilots in the vicinity of New Africa, could they please get in touch with Commander Vantayun to see if he can attempt a rescue effort from his present location?
Welcome to the Hutton BGS bit, where we do a quick run through of the 49 systems where Hutton has a presence and take a wild guess at what you can do to make things better or worse. Well, to start, we have expanded into LHS 1507, which is currently occupied by Syrah Incorporated. See, the thing is, They're only in 10% and we're on 8%. So do they really have a better claim than us? I dunno. Let's see what happens. It's an ice wee system with six ringed gas giants and a ringed ice world, so handy for mining or bounty hunting. It has two outposts, so if you want to land there for restocking and things, you can't really take anything bigger than a python. There are fleet carriers too, but you can't count on those. We may soon move into another system, since PSPF LF2 is in 74%, with expansion pending. I'd stay out of there if I were you. Other high-flying systems are Stein 2051, WISE 0855-0714, LP 245-10, Van Manen Star, LP 532-81, 36 Ophiuchi, The Hag Hole, and Wolf 1481. Jaws Pantazis is just under the threshold, so I'd leave that one alone as well. Now that we've been through the systems that we don't want you to do anything in, let's look at the systems where you can do stuff. Wolf 562 is experiencing Wolf 562 is experiencing a period of investment, as is Barnard Star. The investment there has been going for a long time. Investment is like a supercharged boom, so you can make significant gains through trading and mission running. Speaking of booms, they are present in Kokari, Epsilon Indy, and Wolf 359, where it's paired up with infrastructure failure. We have a huge election in the Renses, where we're all pitted against the Green Party of Samini. There are some accidental wars in EDF systems, just let them sort themselves out, we don't want to contest them. And I think that's about it. And you'll be thinking, well, that's all very well and good, but what does it all mean? Well, I'll tell you. If you want to truck it, then I'd recommend trucking machinery into Wolf 359, or trading to one of those investment systems. Conditions are also good for mission running in the investment or boom systems. Same goes for Narenses. Election means non-violent actions do very well. If you want to shoot it, then you'd probably listen to Vulcarius, who will give us an update on which Titan is the subject of his ire this week. Then go there, find a collection of soft, dangly objects on its underside somewhere, roll down the window and give it a ruddy good punch in them. And that's it for this week's BGS update.
Well,
that was relatively seamless. I think we know
you
who the trouble.
You did remember to press record, didn't you?
I actually did, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness for
I
that.
Think we know who the
just
troublemakers are.
Just in time.
I think we know who the troublemakers are at Hutton Orbital.
Yeah, and they're all in this room.
Yeah. Don't believe that.
Okay, I'm in this room.
Yeah, you're in this room, exactly. So, I'm not up to date. Has there been a Frontier live stream this week?
Technically,
no, there's never one of them. Go on.
Oh, okay. Yes, technically there was.
Was there?
But remember, this is that. That's
I saw
only
something
technically
about
correct.
One.
It's
technically correct is the best kind, yeah. That's
yeah.
Fine.
That's best kind of correct.
So, apparently they turned on a stream and it was just some background stuff. There wasn't any actual content.
Oh, okay.
Still counts.
That counts, yep.
That is very nearly as much Elite Dangerous stuff as they normally put in their live streams.
And don't
you could,
like that.
You could argue that they just watched the first three quarters of it and that's why we didn't get any Elite stuff.
Surprisingly, many commanders have had the same sentiment. But yeah, like so they were just—it was basically just streaming nothing, and it had like 1,000 viewers.
Oh, excellent. And they'll all be tuning in just in case something happens. You know, like,
yeah,
in case suddenly,
people,
like,
yeah. You know. Well, people were saying, "Are the Twitch drops on? Have we put this thing? Have we put this into Audacity? Are we analysing the audio for hidden messages?"
I know, and it's really like, you know, they'll be sitting for 3 years waiting to see if there's like one shot of a Python, a panther clipper or something, you know, like, was that it?
Yeah.
Cobra Mark 5.
Yeah, Cobra Mark 5, right. The Cobra Mark 2.
Yeah, it's like an hour of nothing and then just cut to Arthur saying, panther clipper.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It would be a weird, strange image that when you put it through a sound conversion was actually a furrier image of Arthur saying panther clipper.
Mm-hmm. But you have to put it through the sound converter backwards and upside down.
Mm-hmm. While standing on one leg.
Well, standing on one leg, yes. Obvious. I mean, obviously standing on one leg.
So, yeah.
So in the absence of any content from Frontier, what about space news? Can we do space news?
We can mostly do space news. We can do space news sound effects. We just can't do space news random rolling pictures, unfortunately, because I don't have that button.
Do you have the space news music?
But we do have the button for the noises. Space news. Forget how long this thing is. And there we go. So, the first space news of the night. Ariane rocket. Yep, Ariane 6, first launch.
Wow.
I didn't put it in, but I do know that it succeeded.
Yes. Yeah, I'm seeing here that it was successful.
A few years later than it was meant to.
But you say a few. How many is a few, roughly?
About 10, I think.
Oh, okay.
Quite a lot. It was meant to go up ages ago. Yeah. It was meant to go up so long ago that they ran out of Ariane 5 rockets a couple of one launch back, and had to stop launching things until they could get this working. So,
okay, but I mean, still better than the what's that one called? The one that's still glued onto the International Space Station. Starliner. Still better than a Starliner.
The Boeing. Yeah, we'll probably get to that one later. Yeah, we'll get to that one later.
Okay.
Attention pour le décompte final. Eh, it's French.
Yo, décompte final.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Top.
Oui.
Allumage 2 ESR, décollage.
And it's a oui.
Now that's a flawless launch.
Yes.
I'm not going to use the word seamless. It's got too many implications around it. But yeah, as far as I know, everything went absolutely nominally.
Yeah. Oh, look, see the deployment of something called OCV Cube, Curium 1, and Robusta 3A.
I beg your pardon.
Robusta 3A, I like it.
Europe's new rocket.
Pilotage calme, trajectoire nominal.
Ariane 6 has left the pad and is blazing a trail across the equatorial skies.
Well, we're not going to watch 4 minutes of it, so I'll kill that there.
Mm.
I know it's a short show tonight, but that's a stretch.
Yeah.
So yeah, stage separation went okay.
Yeah,
everything went smoothly. It didn't re-enter because it's not reusable, so it went splat the way it was supposed to and expected to, which is kind of a little bit 1990s, 2000s sort of thing to do these days. But that's what Europe's been working on for the last 30 years.
They had something. As the European Space Agency official stream later reported, an issue with the auxiliary power unit, the APU, which allows the upper stage Vinci, as in Da Vinci, engine to reignite. Okay. Issue is apparently it's only to be expected to affect the end of the mission according to ESA. Preservation maneuver. Okay. Yeah. So it all seems to have gone very well indeed.
Well done, Ariane Space.
Yes.
What do we have next?
I don't know what's next. I never looked this far.
Yes. Two people sitting in a tin can.
Are they still there?
They're still there.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd want to get in that thing, if I'm honest. To come home.
Yeah.
Where people go, no, it's fine. Like, you said that on the way up.
Well, I heard two pieces of news about this. One is the official NASA announcement that they now do not have a fixed date for returning it.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. And the other one, which was a quite entertaining quip from somebody that pointed out that SpaceX is now being given $837, whatever it is, $1 million to bring it home in 2030.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be back before 2030.
Yes.
When SpaceX bring the rest of the ISS to the orbit.
Oh, dear.
Hopefully they won't still be on board.
Wow.
No, it's not a huge problem. They can get them back perfectly safely, even if they decide that the ship itself isn't sound.
Oh, yeah. There's usually, is it a Mir capsule or something stuck on the side?
There's a Soyuz on the side and a Crew Dragon on the side at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of which have got any spare seats because they all took people up, but go on.
Yeah.
Wasn't in the space news a couple of weeks ago, wasn't there a date for deorbiting the ISS that was sooner than that?
2030.
Not
2030. It was 2030, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they'll be bringing it back then, if not before.
Which is only 5.5 years away.
Yeah, which is kind of depressing, really, because it's not actually being replaced. But yeah, joking aside, they do think the ship is safe to come back in the Starliner. They want to get to the bottom of what was going wrong with it, and once they bring it back, those bits will have burnt up and gone, so they can't check anymore.
I wouldn't want to be testing that theory with a human inside. Or
neither.
Two humans inside.
No, absolutely not.
Not so much.
I don't think there's any real news content apart from the fact that, they're still there. Still there. Still there.
I mean, plenty of food, plenty of air, plenty of everything to keep them going.
Oh, yeah, there's absolutely no problem. They can stay for months and months and months and not be a problem.
Yeah, and if it does, that'd be a problem. They can always send more up.
Yeah, but I hope they didn't leave the gas on at home.
Yeah, yeah. I think we'd open it. I think you see the flame shooting up. Speaking of flame shooting up.
Yeah, China launched a new rocket this week as well. Well, I say China launched a new rocket. China ran a static test fire of a new rocket this week.
All right.
You know, where they clamp them down on the ground and they stay there.
Oh, God, I can see the pictures.
There you go, clamped on the ground. Unfortunately, they weren't expecting it to lift off. And bits of it weren't working properly.
Oh, that's... I could hear creaking noises.
Oh, you're gonna hear more than creaking noises in a second, mate. It shouldn't be pointing sideways. And it shouldn't be going down either.
I think that's Chinese for shit.
I think it might be. I think that's Chinese
so that
for really
wasn't
glad
meant
I'm not stood underneath that. No, that was not
that
was meant
to
stay
to
on the ground. No.
That was not meant to go up in the sky like that then?
Nope. It wasn't meant to come back down either. And it definitely was not meant to do that. There was still quite a lot of fuel on board when it went thmack.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that video footage is a bit questionable is because it was basically smuggled out on Chinese social media.
Yeah.
The party would never let that out if they had to say.
Officially, the test was definitely not a failure. They were testing their rapid unplanned disassembly planning system.
If anybody who ever wanted to learn how to swear in Mandarin, just listen to
that.
Yeah,
it's a good
commentary.
Video, that one. Yeah, so that's pretty much all we know about it, because China never tells you anything apart from when things go perfectly.
Yeah. Which obviously they did. They obviously meant for that to happen.
I think there was one very minor technical hitch at one point in the video, but you might have missed it.
No,
everything else went to plan, yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's what we need.
Yeah, so we've got no idea why it didn't stay on the ground. We've got no idea why it went up as far as it did and then fell over sideways. We suspect that they probably aborted it.
Yeah.
Because better than letting it go straight up even further and then doing something horrible, so...
Yeah, because, there's stuff up there.
Oh, yeah. And we've no idea how much damage that did to the launch complex either, so...
What launch complex?
Good question.
The Chinese government said there was never a launch complex there.
No, it's always been a large crater. Natural lake.
Yeah. That was an asteroid that hit the same time as the one that took the dinosaurs out, honest.
Could be. And speaking of stinking stories...
Yeah, nice segue. Yeah, so a stinky nearby exoplanet stinks of rotten eggs. Ew!
Okay.
It doesn't look rotten eggy, though. But the artist's impression, it's lovely in blue and white. It looks like a water world.
Or a cloudy one.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, maybe he drew the one that isn't Neptune.
Yeah.
That looks... Is that a screenshot from Elite?
It could be, couldn't it? Actually, no, the prominences on the star are too much just around the edge instead of in front of it as well.
Yeah.
On Elite, they actually render them in 3D, not just as a side-on vector.
So I noticed how, like, media, if it's, like, hydrogen sulfide, God must be incredibly common, and they just have to say rotten eggs instead of hydrogen sulfide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you say hydrogen sulfide, nobody takes any interest. If you say, this whole world smells of rotten eggs, people go, ugh!
Yeah, it's like the one a couple of years back where they discovered significant methane emissions around Uranus. And obviously, methane emissions from Uranus, had to be a major headline, didn't it? I mean, it's actually quite interesting that there's methane there because they weren't expecting it, but that's not the story people want.
That's not the actual story, no.
Yeah.
So if you've got your galaxy map open, this thing is HD for Delta, 189733B. I don't know if that'll show up.
HD 189733-1 in. The system is there. So HD 189733 is a system. But good. I don't have the system app for it, and I can't really be asked to go to EDSM. So
Can you buy
the map? Are you in game? If you're in game, buy the map. Buy the exploration data. It wouldn't cost you much.
Just go to EDSM, somebody. I'm not doing.
I'm doing it.
I'll lose control.
So how does that actually work? So like, it's too far away from me to buy. I presume. Like, I don't know when you can and can't buy the data. Like, how? What?
Oh no, I think that's fairly random.
Stuff in the bubble, really.
Yeah, it's dodgy Maxwell's Map Emporium.
Right.
As seen on Space Crime Watch.
Not Space Crime Watch.
Wait, what? The system not found?
Wait, what? Have you lost it?
Maybe nobody's been there in
EDSM. The EDSM. Hold on.
Is that not the primary name for the system, maybe?
Aha, it is not. Yeah, so the galaxy map does have an entry for HD 189733. It goes to Wolf 864.
Oh. But it did say it was nearby to Earth, didn't it?
Yeah, most of the wolves are. It's just that stars appear in a lot of catalogues, so they have a lot of different names.
And did you say it was something B? Was it 3B or something?
733B, NASA terminology, it's second body discovered in the system, so it'll be the biggest planet, right, okay. Probably.
Yeah, there is only a gas giant
There you go, they got it right.
Yep, 64 light years from Earth.
It's not far at all.
Yeah.
Do that in one jump in the
right shift. Well, listen to this, the planet also has extremely high temperatures of about 927 Celsius and is known for vicious weather, including raining glass that blows sideways on winds of 5,000 miles per hour. Oh!
Ow!
Aye! I don't fancy that at all.
Yeah, that'll clean the paint off your tyres.
Aye, so the hydrogen sulfide's bad, but it's not the worst thing.
No, I've got to agree with you there. It's not the worst thing. You wouldn't step out into the weather there and go, smells a bit funny.
Yeah, ooh, it's the smell, you see, as you're dissolved and pierced by glass.
Shredded completely.
Yeah, you would be obliterated. Yeah, that's beautiful. What a thing, what a place.
What a wonderful, wonderful world.
Yes.
Let's not visit.
Let's not.
Let's send Amelia instead to see if there's anything rare there.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine everything except the glass would be rare there.
Yep.
Because it's not like going to survive, yeah. Mm. Anyway, and that impending note of doom,
I think we're space newsed out, so...
Let's do the outro.
Here we go.
Space space, new 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 space.
So, Vulcarius, what have you got for us this week?
Oop, I've got a thing I need to bring on my screen.
Ooh.
Oh, here's the picture, nice. Of the Titan being attacked, presumably. Yeah, so well done everyone last week. Obviously Indra went from 11 systems down to a flat zero.
Wow.
Well, I mean, we would... We were taking 20, 30 a week, so it's not...
Okay, like yeah, fair enough. And just to my uneducated ears, that just sounded like a lot.
No, yeah, it is a lot. It was a massive... We almost didn't make it.
Ah, right, okay.
So, yeah, we had a absolutely massive rush on Thursday, which removed two rings from Indra, as from the Titan, as everyone was getting in their attacks to secure the rewards. This then dropped off dramatically, so much that for about a day or so, it actually looked like Indra could survive the week. But we also had 8 invasions, which we'll get to in a moment.
Oh dear.
And as those invasions got defended one by one, the Titan attack started picking up again over the weekend. And by Monday, that rate reached almost half a ring per hour. There are only 8
wow.
rings.
Okay,
wow.
So it's
yeah.
16
hours. Well, minus what we did on Thursday, so the two on Thursday and anything over the weekend was.
Sort
needless
like
to say, that was it for Titan Indra. Not that easy.
Yeah.
Alongside that, indeed, we've had a Thargoid strategy change, this time actually reported by Aegis. First. Thargoids no longer attack unpopulated systems, only our inhabited systems. This is slightly to their detriment. Unpopulated systems, they can take, they just go straight from alert to control. Inhabited systems have to go through invasion. So it kind of slows them down a bit. And yeah, on top of that, speaking of invasions, the innermost 3 attacks per Titan go directly to invasion, bypassing the alert state.
Ouch.
Hence those invasions which commanders rushed to defend last week. Mm-hmm. Those have continued this week, but with another change as well. They're actually back down to 5 attacks per Titan. They like that. This is what they like we were doing last year.
Yeah.
January 3310, they were up to 9 attacks, maybe 8. They were up to 9 just before going down to 5 this week. So that means we now actually have more invasions than alerts. Obviously, if they can only attack 5 and 3 go to invasion, you're going to have a lot more invasions. Actually, we've got 9 invasions and 3 alerts this week. So, Maelstrom Thor is up next and getting most of the attention. Actually, there are 0 alerts at Maelstrom Thor, following a very successful guard by Imperial Navy intervention and rescue. It only got 3 of its 5 attacks.
Was that a shameless plug by any chance?
No. It was boasting. It was, yeah.
Well, a shameless plug's fine.
But what am I plugging exactly? It's not like I'm...
Plugging Imperial Navy intervention and rescue.
Yeah,
as an entity. It's like, look at us, we're fab.
It's not like we're recruiting. I mean,
no, he could start selling merch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I suppose we could do that.
I went to defend an alien invasion and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. never mind, forget it.
You can say Iniv if you want to.
Make Iniv great again. On bright red baseball caps.
Well, I'll be slightly less of a blatteroon about it. So it only got 3 of its 5 attacks, so therefore it only has 3 invasions to defend it. At 4, that is. There are spire sites around, but please note that we only have 4 of them here to cover 100 systems. Now, they cover 10 each, which means there will be roughly 60 control systems we'll need to complete normally over the course of reaching the Titan. So if you're able to do AX conflict zones, please do go to the outermost control systems and save the Spire support for later. Finally, there may be an extra thing this week.
Like an extra thing. An extra thing.
Like a thing we do, like we group together to do.
Well, like a thingy thing.
A thing.
You know, like a goal, which we'll do as a community. I don't know if there is one or not. but if there were, and if it were to reward something which is really front flipping good for helping the war, no one's going to blame anyone if they were to do that instead this week. And that's it.
Actually, all done.
Well, thank you very much. Now we definitely need a theme tune for you.
I was just thinking the same thing. We need an intro and an outro.
I'd sing something, but you'd probably run screaming with bleeding ears, so I won't.
Yeah. But so, stay tuned for the next
bit. There we go.
Well, you need to like cobble together another kind of news noise.
I suppose I could do your bong, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah, it's the same type of thing, though. So that not so much the bong. You know how you got the Hutton intro theme? It's like a smaller little
stinger. We need something.
Stay tuned for the next bit. You're going to like this.
Psst, do we have a word of the week?
We do have the word of the week. And word of the week this week is Ill Willy.
And can you use that in a sentence?
Oh, no, too early. You've got to ask what it means first.
No, what
I don't
want to
know
mean?
What it means.
It means having an unfriendly disposition, an ill willy.
Oh, and can you use that in a sentence?
I can. Just watch this. The maintenance crews at Hutton were a shower of ill willies. Somebody wants to copy that and paste it into the chat. And in the meantime, where do anteaters store important records?
Do anteaters have important records?
Oh, you bet they do. They store them
in Jeff's safe?
No, they store them in the Aardvarkives. Aardvark!
Okay, so, since we never actually have any CG news, we may as well just skip straight over to the...
Don't you dare!
Ow. It's Flossie with the CG news.
It's Flossie. It's Flossie. It's Flossie. It's Flossie. And the community goes.
Hello. Floss here with this week's CG news. And yes, we do have a CG this week. It's to deliver critical aid to the Rhea disaster. The Federation has requested shipments of supplies in the Rhea system to help rebuild critical infrastructure. Intense seismic activity across Rhea 3's largest continent demolished entire cities and townships late last year, causing widespread death and injury. Rescue operations have saved over 1 million people, but local infrastructure has been compromised and vital construction supplies are running low. Federal Liberal Command, the controlling faction, has called for pilots to transport power generators, aluminium and titanium to ITO Orbital in the Rhea system. As an additional incentive, rewards have been offered. These rewards are cumulative. If Tier 4 target is reached, everyone will receive a Scarab SRV Vibrant Orange paint job. If Tier 5's target is reached, the top 50% of contributors will receive a corrosion-resistant cargo rack, size 6, cargo capacity 64. The campaign began today, the 11th of July, and will run for 7 days. To earn rewards, you must sign up as an active participant before handing in power generators, aluminium and titanium to ITO Orbital in the rear system. Only materials handed in after signing up will count towards your personal contribution total. And that's it for this week's CG News.
Blossy told you what to do.
Well, I was going to need help with a rear disaster earlier, but it turned out just to be a fart. Anyway, over to Beetlejuice and Wotherspoon with the Galnet News Digest.
Apparently, we were happily listening to the Galnet News and you weren't, so we're starting that again for your delectation and delight.
Galnet News Digest, 11th of July, 3310. We read the news so you don't have to. In this week's news, the focus moves to Thor. An old and confused politician doesn't know if they're ready for office. And we hear a personal account of the destruction of Titan Indra. Following the destruction of Titan Indra, the focus has moved to Titan Thor. Although it's by far the weakest of the three remaining Titans, Thor still has over 100 systems under its control, and it's likely it'll take some time longer to defeat than did the first five Titans. There are a number of systems with ground bases under attack near Thor, including the three invasion systems, HIP 20509, HIP 18857, and UNCTITY. The 12 counter-strike systems are rather disappointingly almost all near the other two Titans, so are not strategic targets. Fleet carriers have been arriving in all the systems nearest to Thor, ready for the long haul. Just under 5 months after a devastating earthquake struck Felicia Winter's home planet, Rhea 3, the Federation has finally appealed for disaster aid. But there's no indication that the President-elect has any intention of taking the federal helm. Rather than take office back in February, President-elect Winters chose to provide aid privately to the people of the stricken planet. Had she become president, she'd have had almost unlimited resources available to bring relief to her homeworld. The scale of the disaster, a single planet amongst thousands, would have been no more than a pimple on the Federation's bottom. In 5 months, nothing useful has been achieved on Rhea 3. Now, with five-month dead corpses rotting in the streets and no sign of her re-establishment of a meaningful government, Winters has finally appealed to commanders to help bring much-needed aid to the survivors. She's appealed for all the supplies a starving population would possibly need. She's appealed for power generators, which is good. But rather than food or medicine, she's instead appealed for aluminium and titanium. The displaced people of Rhea 3 will presumably soon be living in tents made out of metal. This eccentric behaviour has led some to suggest that the 81-year-old Winters may be too old for public office. However, as she continues to show no interest in taking over from the 92-year-old Hudson, the question may be irrelevant. Hudson continues to rule, without a mandate, more than a year after his 8-year term of office concluded. It seems that the Federation has ceased to be a democracy, quite by accident. Let's finish tonight with a first-person account of the explosion that blew apart Titan Indra, the fifth of the eight Thargoid Titans. Unlike the Lave radio crew, who were watching the Titan explode from a neighbouring galaxy, Vox Galactica's chief reporter Jade Sunderlin was up close and personal for the entire event. She published her somewhat lurid account last night.
Watching the Thargoid mothership's last hours had me guts in knots. Caustic gas and debris spurted from its vents like blood from multiple wounds. Violent vibrations and bioluminescent pulses gave the impression of a creature shuddering its last. And our ship's sensors picked up horrific creaks and groans, part collapsing starship and part dying animal. The Titan appeared to begin building energy for its electromagnetic attack. But he seemed to go out of control. I was half blinded by a sudden flash that sent our ship spinning out into the black. It continued to explode with a series of increasingly intense releases of energy, and then the most intense blast I think I will ever bear witness to. This dragon, which had once carried off our people and destroyed our homes with fire, had been slain.
And that's this week's Galnet News. Galnet News, we read the news so you don't have to.
I'd just like to say on behalf of everyone at Hutton Orbital that we're all very, very sorry that Jim is a useless button pusher, and we'd like to collectively reassure the listener that we won't be letting him push any buttons next week. Thank you.
Sorry.
You're not sorry.
No, it's your job.
That's not it's not your job.
Yeah. You don't want the apology onions getting on at you, do you?
Oh, there's a scary thought.
Yeah.
They bring a tear to the eye when they come out.
So, anyway, since you won't be button pushing next week, what's happening?
Well,
Amelia will return next week.
Woo!
I think David will as well.
Mm. Well, you can't have everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. But me, and Jim, not so much.
Yeah, not so much. No. You're going to be off in exotic places doing strange things.
Yeah, I'm going to be in strange places doing exotic things, just like you said.
Oh, nice.
I've got a solid week of meetings where I'll be the only one there where English is their first language.
Oh my God! How's your French coming along then?
Je ne parle pas un seul mot.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's fair enough.
What?
But as long as you're making the effort, that's the main thing.
I speak enough French to get by in a bar or a restaurant. Yes. And that's about it.
It's good enough. Good enough.
Yeah.
More than me.
Yeah, so I will be in foreign parts.
Yes.
But I'll be thinking of you, because it'll be way better than the crap that I'm dealing with all day.
Not better than the food, though.
Well, no, I'll give you that one. The food is rather spectacular.
Good, good. At least you've got that. So I suppose that's us then, is it?
I think it is. I think we're done.
Oh, time for an early night.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we made it to the 9:30 mark, but less than an hour because we started late. So yeah, it's close enough.
Are you saying you didn't start at 8:30-ish?
Well, we started at
8:30. Oh no, 8:30-ish,
But 8:30-ish was less than an hour before 9:30-ish. It's one of those strange time dilation things. Yeah. We must have been going fast.
Yeah. Hutton said it's one of those boosts, one of those gravity boosts coming around the star.
Either that or it's the large black hole hanging around in the bar.
Oh, yeah. I think he's called Cecil. Yeah, but they put barriers around that. They put one of those yellow cones up.
Yeah. No, that was the wet floor one.
That really confused people. They didn't have a black hole one.
No, because it collapsed into the singularity, so they left it too close.
Yeah. It's still on the event horizon if you look really closely.
True, but if you get close enough to see it, you may have a problem getting back.
Yeah. Take your reading glasses or your varifocals with you.
Yeah, probably wise.
So, varifocal binoculars.
I guess that means it's time to fire off a klaxon and give a shout out, as it were. Or at least a whisper out if nobody's able to shout.
Are you going to lead us off, Flossie?
I shall try it.
Yay!
Not got much of a voice, but...
Okay.
For the mug!
For the mug!
For the mug!
Mug! Oh, God!
Sorry.
Cargo too small. The profit margins never really mattered at all. We're gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We'll take anything, anytime, anywhere. Loading out the T-Nars to the brim with rail. For the mug, yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the mug, now everybody sing the Hutt and Trucker song. To crash into the sun. Swivel likes the pilot on the Xbox One. Alvin at the front, you know he leads us well. Trucking across the galaxy, now everybody yell. For the mug, for the mug. Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the mug Now everybody sing the Hutt and Trucker song.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the show. Everyone's buggered off now, so why don't you bugger off too?